This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
I think we got something else to root for these last few days as Padres fans in the playoff chase. And we can debate about which team you'd want to face if they do host a wild card series. Is it the Diamondbacks, who've been struggling at least until yesterday when they beat the Giants and avoided the sweep?
Zach Gallen nasty,
yeah,
yesterday.
Which is who you'd probably have to face, yep, in the first game. Or would you rather face maybe a Mets team who's been fantastic, but it could be a Mets team that has to play a doubleheader in Atlanta on Monday, the day before the wild card series starts.
Sign me up. Yes.
So this is this was the result of the hurricane moving into the southeast.
Hurricane Helene.
Yes. And the Braves, with the state of emergency being declared and the rain and no roof, had to postpone both yesterday and today's final two games of that series, that critical series between the Mets and the Braves. And
so they postponed yesterday's game.
They've already banged today's game.
Okay.
So in the standings, the Mets are currently a game ahead of the Braves. They're tied with the Diamondbacks and a game ahead of the Braves in the wild card race. So obviously these two games are incredibly important, as only two of those three teams will make the playoffs at the end of the season. Those teams will now go on to their final regular season series. The Mets leave, they go to Milwaukee, and will play the Brewers for three. The Braves will remain home, assuming the weather clears up, and on Friday they will take on the Kansas City Royals for three.
Question. You said assuming. Now, I saw a picture of their field yesterday. It's gnarly down there. I mean, it's really, really bad. Are they going to not only be able, are they going to be able to play this series in Kansas City? Is that a definite that's going to go down?
It's in Atlanta.
Against Kansas City. Atlanta.
If you didn't play Friday, then they'd have to play probably a doubleheader on Saturday. I mean, doubleheader.
Is this thing done? Is the hurricane done, gone?
No, it's passing through now. So, yeah, I don't know what the overall status is going to be. Their grounds crew has got a lot of work to do to get that field ready.
All the talk was about Monday, but I also saw, like you just mentioned, there's the potential for a doubleheader Saturday. Play Sunday, one game, doubleheader Monday, and then travel.
And then you travel for a wild card series opener on Tuesday.
San Diego across the
country.
So, good God.
They will only play that doubleheader, according to Rob Manfred's office, if it does impact the playoff race. But the likelihood is very high that it will. They're separated by a game. The tiebreaker hasn't been decided. The Braves lead 6-5, so either team could still win the tiebreaker based on the last two games of the season. So as long as they're within two games going into Monday, like after Sunday, as long as the Braves don't fall three games behind the Mets, if they lost two games to the Mets, they could be eliminated and it wouldn't matter.
The Braves play the Royals at home.
Yes.
Okay, for three games.
But if they stay within a game of the Diamondbacks as well, that could also impact it. So, there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to these final three playoff spots. And those teams will likely have to play a doubleheader on Monday, which would start at, I think, 1:05 Eastern. So you figure, all right, 4:05, then you play again at 4:30. You finish around 7:30 Eastern. You shower, change, get to the airport around 10. You fly to the West Coast. You save 3 hours on the flight, but you're probably checking into a hotel 2 a.m. or so, 2:30 a.m. at the Omni. And then you've got to get up. And I don't know what time the game would be scheduled on Tuesday. You would think it would be the latest game. But I heard something crazy that I didn't realize as well this morning. I heard Steve Phillips, the former GM, talking about it. On Tuesday, there's also a vice presidential debate on all the networks at 7 p.m. And Major League Baseball doesn't want to play a game opposite that. So they're planning on basically all day games on Tuesday as well. I don't know how late they'd start. Maybe like 4 would be the latest. They'd possibly start on the West Coast.
For the last game.
Which means you've got not only a doubleheader, a cross-country flight, a check-in at a hotel at 3. You may have to get in and get to the ballpark by, you know, 10, 11 a.m. for an afternoon game in the wild card as well, having perhaps used, well, obviously two of your starters, probably all of your bullpen, not to mention whatever you had to use on Sunday as well, because you got those games are just as important. Whoever, if it's the Mets that are coming to town, they could be absolutely torched by the time they get to San Diego.
Braves, too.
Braves, too. If it's them. Now, if it's the Diamondbacks, they'll probably be rested and ready with a short flight, but they've been struggling lately. You'd probably have to face Zach Gallen. I'm starting to lean toward, I might want to face one of those NL East teams in the wild card race, which was the exact opposite of what I thought a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and you know, the only thing, I guess the counter argument to it is that when faced with something like this, can be a nice little unifier for the team. Like, hey, man, this is what's ahead of us. It's in our hands.
Oh, it's a great story.
Let's
if you get through it.
If you get through it, you go kick everybody's ass after, you know, everything that's thrown at you. But here's the thing, too, that I was seeing yesterday. I saw Met fans being mad at Braves fans. I saw Braves fans being mad at Met fans, basically saying, we could have all come together, found a neutral site, and got these games in. There was a, you know, an open stadium in Miami with a roof. Could have gone down and done that.
Neither just be mad at MLB. Like,
at Major League Baseball, yeah.
You can't plan for that last year when you wrote the schedule. You can't plan for a hurricane, but like, they knew it was coming.
But they
last
knew it was
weekend.
Coming. Like, they knew it was coming. They didn't do really anything preventatively to make some changes. Now, look, it's a logistical nightmare. I wouldn't wish it on anyone that had to figure that out, but it's kind of why Rob Manfred makes $20 million a year or whatever he makes. So I do think that, yeah, that probably could have been handled better. But you have to get buy-in from both teams, Paulie. And apparently the Braves are like, we don't want to lose revenue for two home games. You know, we don't want to lose that revenue, which, again, I do understand. So if you don't want to lose revenue for two home games, and now you have this big gauntlet you have to face, are you blaming other than you can't blame the weather?
You can cynically say it's revenue. You can also say that the competitive advantage of playing at home in the maybe most two important games of the year, no team is going to want to give up that advantage of getting to play at home with the two games that will probably determine whether they make the playoffs or not. Yeah, that's fine. Let's just go to Miami or Philly and play those instead. Yeah, there's an argument to be made for it. So I've seen people say the commissioner needs to step in, best interest of baseball, and just say, Braves, sorry, I'm taking this decision away from you. But they let the Braves make the decision. The Braves said, well, if we get to make it, we want to play at home, and we'll wait until Monday to do so. So that's the plan right now.
New York Mike says they both had an off day this past Monday. That something could have been done.
They did. The Mets played the night game on Sunday, but they could have made it work. I mean, I don't know how many games in a row or anything they've played before that.
What was the other scenario you were telling me where they may end up banging games for a team entirely? Now, that would piss
me
off.
So if the commissioner's office has said, if those games don't impact the playoff race, so say the Braves get swept by the Royals and the Mets and Diamondbacks both clinch playoff spots on Sunday, they just won't play those two. And the Mets and Braves will finish with 160 games rather than 162.
I would argue that still impacts the playoffs because a playoff team just had to play two less games.
Yeah, two fewer games, exactly. Jeez, dude. Huh. That's very, very interesting. Somebody just said this is the most interesting way to end the season. It really is. And, yeah, man, you know, one thing if you watch baseball a lot, one thing you've learned about baseball, Brett Boone was talking about it yesterday, is being a player and now an analyst. Remember what he said? You go in, you get your pen out, you get your paper out, you take all these notes and you use your wisdom and experience of years in the game and you go, these guys are set up for this and it's going to be great. And then the friggin' playoffs start. And you could have a team cross country, used every starter that they had. They go out and throw a bullpen day and they beat the Padres, you know, 3-1. It just, There's no rhyme or reason to it, and it is random, as we talked about yesterday. But sure, you want every advantage you can with a depleted bullpen, with a depleted starting rotation, a tired and weary team flying in. Those teams also scare the crap out of me, either of them that has to do that.
If you want to play real or fake, you can call us now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, chance to qualify for Vegas. I will say to Benjamin in the chat, in the case of Hurricanes, baseball is not important. No one's arguing that, you know, the results of baseball games are more important than the lives and the safety of people in Atlanta, and you should be playing those games. But to say that it's completely unimportant, after they have played 6 months to decide who gets the playoffs, you can't just say, well, now these games aren't important, we just don't need to play them, or doesn't matter. Oh, you know, the Mets end up a half game ahead. Braves, you don't really deserve to have that chance to play the games. No, they put their heart and soul, it's their life, for months and months from the start of spring training. They deserve an opportunity to play out the schedule completely and have their chance to make the postseason, which impacts those guys' lives for sure. Their chance to, you know, win a World Series, make a name for themselves on the postseason stage. These are their lives, and they do deserve that opportunity.
You can look, dude, you want to go down that road, Benjamin. What are we doing in here? There are people sleeping on the streets right now. Shouldn't we be out feeding them? Shouldn't you be out of this chat out helping, you know, kids? Yes, of course. That's the answer. But this is what we're talking about. This is their livelihoods, their careers. Yes, you don't want anybody hurt or killed or anything in a hurricane. In the grand scheme of all of this, nothing that any of us do matters even a tiny little bit. Not even a little bit. So that game's an interesting one to play, yes. But it would be like every topic you brought up, Ben, I would say,
it's not. Well, this isn't the important stuff.
No, there's kids that without school lunch today.
We're the toy department. We're entertainment. Yeah. I understand that, but it is a very interesting subplot for the final days of the season here that does absolutely impact the Padres as well.
It absolutely does. It impacts the game. It impacts. I mean, think about the players. Of course, obviously, they're the ones that got to go out and execute. But think about Think about the guys behind the scenes, the traveling secretaries, the guys that got to get everything dialed in, the logistical teams right now are sitting and
awful.
And just going, like, I've talked to our guys here in PR before, and I've asked them, hey, so with all these different scenarios, he goes, bro, we spent 15 hours working on every single scenario that may present itself. And what? You don't use 99% of it. It's pretty insane to think about what goes into all of this to get these games off on a daily basis, and much less when a natural disaster like a hurricane occurs. So I have a lot of sympathy for those guys. I really do. Maybe more than the players, because the players actually get to go out and have fun and play the game and make a lot of money. The guys behind the scenes, holy smokes.
Speaking of playing the game, it is time to play our Throwback Thursday game. It is time for a little real or fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Peter is going to have a chance to qualify for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas. Two-night stay at the Wynn or Encore Las Vegas and two tickets to the show Awakening at the Wynn Las Vegas. Get your tickets on sale now at awakening.com. Good morning to you, Peter. What are you up to this morning, other than playing real or fake?
Just getting my ticket at the parking garage.
All right, he's at the parking garage. All right, put your thinking cap on, because this is a chance to win a big prize. You just need to get 4 out of 7 correct in real or fake. Woods is here to lend you assistance. I think he might be able to help you in this category. Oktoberfest celebrations are getting underway, and as you know, love a good sausage. Today on Real or Fake, we will be separating.
Save it.
He will save it, I know. Today on Real or Fake, we'll be separating the carnivores from the herbivores. Woods, you know what those words mean, right?
Carnivore is a meat eater.
Right, and an herbivore is a
plant eater.
So I'm going to give you a name, Peter. You tell me if it's a real type of sausage found in various places around the world, or a fake, in this case, an exotic fruit or vegetable. So we're talking sausage or plant, fruit or vegetable. All right, round one. Are you ready to go, Peter?
Yeah.
All right, round one. Cherimoya, real or fake type of sausage. Cherimoya.
Woody, what do you think?
God, it sounds planty to me. Cherimoya. It really... So real means what?
Sausage, yeah.
Real sausage.
I'm looking
right.
for real sausages
let's,
here.
Let's go real.
Yeah, I can... I'm going real.
You're going real sausage?
Yeah.
You're wrong. Custard apple is what they call that. Kind of a... I don't know. That's I think the texture is unpleasant, but that's all right. All right, 0-1. Yeah, a custard apple.
Custard.
Yeah, it's a kind of an Asian fruit. All right, round number two. Let's try black sapote. Real or fake sausage? Black sapote.
Real.
Real? I had never heard of black sapote. Chocolate pudding fruit.
In a. Oh, yeah,
it's a fruit. Yeah.
I keep thinking these are things that they make into sausages.
They could be, but they're not so far. All right, round three. Let's get going here. Lap chung.
Would be?
I know lap dance. That's the only...
lap chung.
Ben knows it. Ben knows it, too. Lap chung real.
Peter?
Did we lose him?
We need a decision. I think he's still there. He's in the parking garage, right?
Real.
Thank goodness. Yes. That's that Chinese pepperoni stick that you see kind of hanging in the windows sometimes of restaurants. All right, that's a correct answer. Let's go to round four. Mutura. Real or fake sausage?
Woods, what do you think?
Fake.
He says fake. Peter, what do you say?
Oh, boy. Okay, fake.
Has anyone ever gone against Woods?
That is a Kenyan blood sausage. All right, now we need to be perfect the rest of the way.
I'm not a sausage lover like Ben loves sausage. No one is.
Round five. Canistel. Real or fake sausage? Canistel.
Real.
Oh, no, it's an egg fruit. That is that's it. Game is over. You cannot win.
It's been
longanisa.
Real.
Filipino breakfast sausage.
Just made it up.
Gailan.
Fake.
Chinese broccoli.
Oh, nice.
Now, easy as can be.
Sorry, Peter.
Words. Easy as can be. Peter, thank you for playing. It wasn't to be today on Real or Fake.
Can I just say that when someone offers me, or if I see something that's called blood sausage, I don't want to eat it. Blood
black
sausage.
Pudding, real or fake?
That's
real.
It's real.
Real. That's a blood sausage.
That's
as
a blood
well.
Sausage.
It's like the Irish version or English black pudding is a sausage
just,
as well.
Can you call it something else? Like sausage?
Not pudding.
Sausage. It's not pudding. Number one.
Morcilla. That's a Spanish blood sausage.
Blood? You like blood sausage?
Not really. Ugh. It's a little irony.
It's
got that kind of. No, I mean you can have a little. It's dark usually. It's very dark colored.
Dark meat.
Yeah, but it's got that very irony back taste, organ meat kind of flavor.
Ah, delicious.
Not my favorite, but something that people do love for sure.
I'm hungry now.
Blood sausage. I'm good.
All right. Don't Do This is coming up next.
So I heard this discussed yesterday. Man, NIL in college football is really, really taking on a life of its own right now. It is like a runaway bull in Massachusetts. It's just a crazy, crazy story out of UNLV, Ben. I wanted to talk about that. And then the Cleveland Guardians getting up in their feelings last night.
We will get to both of those stories and more next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, let's start Don't Do This today with the story of Matthew Sluka. He is the quarterback for the undefeated UNLV Rebels and the poster child now for what is wrong with college athletics and NIL. Matthew Sluka, at least according to his version of events, was promised $100,000 of NIL money if he would transfer. I think he went to Holy Cross Senior, transfer for his last season to lead the Rebels' offense. And then he started the season. Rebels have played well. He's led them to wins in their first three games. They're talking about, you know, maybe winning a championship, maybe getting that playoff spot for the non-Power Four conferences. But that $100,000 was never materializing. And according to his agent, Marcus Cromarty, he said that verbal agreement has not come through. So Matthew Sluka said, well, hey, if you're not paying, I'm not playing.
Wow.
And I am going to now sit out and transfer. Because yeah, once you play four games, you can't redshirt. But if you only play three games, you can say, I'm redshirting this year. And he's going to now re-enter the transfer portal and try to get one more season and one more like NIL payoff somewhere else. But of course, UNLV fans are completely up in arms. You know, they like the season has
started.
Sad, he's playing for them. They're playing well. And now they lose their quarterback. Now, what happened? Where is this money? Was it really promised? What is going on? And I think the don't do this, and you can blame the kid. You can blame his agent. You can blame UNLV. For me, the don't do this is now a system that has no rules, or at least enforceable rules. You know, apparently this is not uncommon where assistants will like promise something and then they'll work hard to try to make it happen, but they can't guarantee, oh, we haven't been able to raise that $100,000 that we said. Yeah, no, we can get you $100,000. Yeah, come to UNLV. We'll get you $100,000.
Get you a little bit of money.
And then all of a sudden they look and, hey, NIL, we need $100,000. Well, we don't have $100,000. Oh, but then that's not really fair to the kids who've been promised that money, verbally or otherwise. You can't really, it's not like a contractual thing. It's just the Wild West, and it makes no sense. It's kind of ruining the sport.
His dad, Bob.
Is it really ruining the sport?
A little bit.
Has your college football really been that impacted?
Mine, I don't know that mine has, but I would think that part of the fun of college football is like, hey, you get excited about your team, and hey, I'm excited about this quarterback, and all of a sudden he just quits three games into the season.
Hold your team accountable.
It's impacting.
Be mad at your team for not paying the kid.
If they said they were going to pay him,
it's not the team, it's the fans who are supposed to pay. I mean, it's NIL. It's the school is not the ones that are paying. It's the boosters and the fans.
Okay, the schools are the ones facilitating a lot.
So be mad at yourself if you're UNLV fans, I guess.
The quarterback's father, Bob Sluka, told ESPN. Head coach Barry Odom later said, offer was valid. It didn't come from me. It came from offensive coordinator Brennan Marion.
That's bait and switch.
Don't trust him. A guy named Brennan also. I think we've learned that. I do think all I thought about when I heard this was, oh, is he a decent quarterback? You can get him for $100,000. I bet Sean Lewis maybe get on the horn and try to dig $100,000 out of the coffers.
Too late for this season.
Yeah, he's got a red shirt
for next year. He's got a red shirt this year.
I mean, look. There's only, like they say in Glengarry Glen Ross, only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. If you go, hey, who knows better than us? The verbal agreement bit. Yeah. No, 3 hours. You guys are good. Trust me.
Mm-mm. But that's the thing. That's not how the system really works. You get them to commit, then you start working on the NIL deals for them. Then you're not supposed to be able to say,
we'll give you
a million, we'll give you 500,000. Right. You're supposed to say, you come to
UNLV.
You come and then our NIL collective will work to get you some good NIL deals. But you're not supposed to be able to promise specific numbers for the players. That wasn't the idea. We'll help you capitalize on your name, image, and likeness to get you some endorsement deals, which they should be able to do. Well, we all agree that college athletes should be able to do endorsement deals, go to a car dealership. But what it's turned into is, hey, we just need to raise, $5 million, and then start spreading it out among our players, you know, just willy-nilly, just to make sure they come to the school. That's not how it was ever supposed to work, but now that is how it's essentially working.
That's exactly how it works now, and it's tough. It's tough, but yeah. So, all right, well, they're down a quarterback, and one of their running backs did the same thing. Kid from USC did it yesterday as well, so this could be the residual effects from that. We need to hurry here. But the old unwritten rules in baseball reared their ugly head again last night in Cleveland as they were throwing a perfect game. Now, I believe it was a combined perfect game at this point in the sixth inning. It was 2-0 Cleveland over Cincinnati. And T.J. Friedl came up in the sixth. Nobody on, nobody out. Top of the seventh. So six complete. Nobody on, nobody out. Drops down a bunt. Beats it out. Perfect, game over. I have zero problem with this. 2-0. Still trying to win a ball game. I know you're out of it, but you're still trying to win a ball game. And it was a 2-0 game. And it was in the seventh inning.
Guy was shoving. You got to get on base anyway.
Get on base any way you can. You know, Mutt always says bloop and a blast. Next thing you know, you need a blast. But the Guardians actually tweeted from their account, breaking up a perfect game through six on a bunt. Kentucky Reds behavior. Which is, I don't really know what it means, but it made me snicker.
They're just disowning them from Ohio.
Okay, got it.
Basically, because they're on the border of Kentucky. It's like, that's, you can see Kentucky from the Great American Ballpark.
That's true.
Technically, it's in Ohio.
Yeah, Kentucky behavior.
I agree with you. It's, if you can get on base, way you can, get on base any way you can.
Now, if it's 9-0 or something, all right, man, maybe swing away. But even still then, like, you're still trying to win a ball game, still trying to get on base.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit more of a gray area here because the game is completely meaningless for the Cincinnati Reds. They've already fired their manager.
Yeah, they fired their manager. But they're playing hard for the next guy. You know, 2-0, trying to win a ball game there. I don't know.
Integrity of the game.
I have no problem with it.
I mean, would have to work both ways as well.
I saw somebody made a good point. If a guy is a triple short of the cycle, is he supposed to not spin it and just go, all right, man, here come those heaters, get ready.
Yeah, your season's over.
See if you can get it in the gap. He's still got to try.
If he gets one to the gap, so the outfielder's just slowly lope after it.
Yeah.
So make sure he gets the triple.
I mean, no, dude. No, you try to get the guys out. That's the game. Yeah. So funny tweet.
All right. Final little sad doo doo.
Mega doo doo.
It's at not, all. Not even a little.
I didn't say fun.
I thought you said
funny. Finally, a little doo doo.
I thought you said a funny little doo doo this.
Finally.
This is the least funny.
No.
Stop laughing at it. It's not funny at all.
Very nice. Unfortunate tribute to Johnny Gaudreau. Columbus Blue Jackets had their first game of the season at home.
Oh, it must have been.
And, you know, that obviously the crowd, very emotional as they honored Johnny Gaudreau and his brother, of course, were killed by a drunk driver on August 29th. And just one of the saddest sports stories we've seen in such a long time. And they did the moment of silence and 13 seconds for number 13. And it was very sad and somber. But the Blue Jackets did go out and win their game against the St. Louis Blues, which was nice in front of that crowd for Johnny and his brother. And that is Don't and Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, yeah, Woods, I don't know if you heard him because I hadn't turned my microphone. He said, let's talk Arise here.
Let's talk some Luis Arise.
I don't mind talking a little Luis Arise here.
I never
because
did.
Let
me put it this way. He's the flavor of the week.
There's something certainly off about Luis Arise the last few days.
And by the flavor of the week, I mean, all right, I've shifted from Manny Machado. Now I'm going to go rip Luis Arise is what I'm seeing a lot of on social media.
Not the only Padre who's started struggling at the plate lately, though. We can talk about a couple other guys as well. We'll get to that next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have to say a quick sorry out there to Cisco. Cisco, it works sometimes with Shelly at the Regal Seagull. I was there yesterday afternoon, just for a little bit, and he said, I listen to the show all the time. He's a Dodgers fan, but he listens to the show all the time with his brother, who's a Padres fan. They were listening yesterday, and he goes, I love the show, even though I'm a Dodgers fan, but you guys stopped down. You didn't do any of your games. You just didn't do Don't Do This. You went right through this entire hour. Just, it was all Padres clinch. And I'm dying. I'm like, oh, I just have to keep listening to this because that's all they're talking about yesterday.
Well, I mean, it's a big one. You know, you clinch and not a lot of people, Cisco, thought this team would be there at the end. Honestly, a lot. I mean, it just, hey, they've cut, you know, Brian Kenny on MLB Network wanted them to do a complete teardown and rebuild. And we're talking 3 months ago, 90 days ago, man. That guy was ready for, I mean, now he hates the Padres.
He did a video. It's basically his I was wrong video.
Yeah. I mean, you had people calling for a complete teardown. And why in the world are you trading Drew Thorpe? And why are you getting rid of Jairo Iriarte? And oh my God, did you guys really trade Dylan Head? Holy cow. What is AJ Preller doing? And what he was doing was reloading and building up a team that went on an incredible run in the second half. 50-50 on my actual birthday, July 19th. 50-50. I was in Two Bunch Palm Resort getting massages, having a great time, making love to my wife. Watched the game against the Guardians. We lost. I was like, oh, great. Second half off to a rollicking start.
7-0, I think.
7-0. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
It's the worst game of the second half.
And then the next thing you know, 3 months goes by, and you're like, how many wins do we have? We're over 90 wins. This is crazy. So, yeah, man, like, it's a big deal when we clinch. And so, yeah, yesterday was a bit of a special show.
Now, clinching, getting to the playoffs is half the battle, maybe more. But part of the battle is also you want to be playing well as you get to the postseason.
Yeah,
the Padres have been playing well for so long. But there are some concerning signs, at least offensively, that we want to talk about. And get to that right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. If there was one reason that I did and still do want the Padres to win the division and get a bye in the first round, it would be for the extra rest that it could provide specifically for Luis Arraez.
Yeah.
Who has been, I would say, the most banged up regular starter the Padres have had here in the second half of the season. Been dealing with that thumb for months now. They said there's a tear or something in there. He can play through it, but it clearly is not really getting any better. He had that last swing last night when he, popped out, up the middle of the diamond. Really, you could see how much it hurt him. Also has that knee bruise, contusion, whatever, that he kind of twisted when he landed awkwardly on home plate. That was a couple of weeks ago. So of all the Padres players who have been dealing with stuff, he's probably the guy who could most use some extra time off, and it's reflected, I think, in his production. Luis Arraez was now 2 for his last 24 after another 0-for-4 last night.
That's a toughie, man. That's a toughie. It, obviously, big hit last week. I mean, look, it Mookie Betts is in a little bit of a slump. It happens. It happens to the greatest of all time. Shohei was having a really hard time with runners in scoring position at the All-Star break. He's clearly not anymore. You're talking about some of the best players of the game. They're going to go through waves. It's tough, man, when you're at the top of the order. There was one AB the other night that killed me, I think, and it was it was Luis Arraez, and he's an aggressive hitter, right? He's not a guy that walks a ton. Fernando Tatis Jr. also drew a walk last night, his first one in 100-plus plate appearances. Like, those guys go up there looking to do damage. And for Arraez, his damage is a single to start off an inning or potentially a double sometimes.
Now, he got robbed twice, once by Muncy to start the game, and once by, I don't know if Edmund was there, if it was still Rojas. I think it was Edmund. Because he had to come in to shortstop in the middle of the game.
Great play.
Two great plays to rob him.
Of course. There was one AB, though, the other night. We had worked a 3-2 count, and he swung at a pitch at his eyes and ended up fouling out, I think, to the first baseman when, you get on, set it up for Tatis next. It just, he's an aggressive hitter. But, I don't want to change a thing about him.
You know, when he's not getting hits and he's not walking, you're getting nothing out of your leadoff spot.
Correct.
No on base, no chances to score.
Which is tough.
It makes it much harder for the Padres to score runs. And quietly, they haven't been scoring as many runs lately. Let's see, over the last six games, they have four times they've hit six hits or less in the game. 255 average, 309 on-base percentage over actually the last 12 games, and six hits or fewer in five. In just five of their previous 34, they were doing great, but now it's kind of started to struggle a little bit. By the way, Rise has put that third straight batting title into question as well with this slump. He's down to 314. Marcell Ozuna's up to 310. Hot on his heels. So there is a little subplot of a National League batting title on the line this weekend, and Arias needs a few more hits to sew that thing up with Ozuna kind of right behind him. So he's not the only Padre who has started scuffling offensively. About half the lineup quietly is not really productive right now. Donovan Solano getting more regular playing time with Ha-Sung Kim out. And with Xander Bogaerts moving to short, he's four for his last 30, Woods.
Not the ABs really we're accustomed to from Solano. Now, listen, I'm not talking about Michael Kopech last night. Like, I was pretty stoked when Lockridge stole second and made it, you know, with ease. And Donovan Solano's up there. I feel pretty confident. But I'm not talking about 101, you know, right in on your hands. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about some of the other kind of wilder swings that we've seen from him when we didn't see that recently when he was a part-time player and coming off the bench. And you know, you've needed him a little bit more. So, yeah, man, I think they're going to be fine. I still like that lineup very much. I mean, I still like that lineup. And you do have faith in Victor Rodriguez. He's proven that he can get his guys going. And, yeah, I'm not overly concerned about it at all. But, yeah, you want to see them. You want to see everyone hitting the ball. Because, man, I'll tell you, like, as good as our pitching is, as good as our defense is, and as good as our bullpen is, you got to hit to win, too, in October. You just have
pitching's
to.
Pitching's only going to get better.
You know, yeah.
And
yeah.
Padres aren't getting much from the offense, from the catching position. Kyle Higashioka and Elias Diaz, 7 for the last 49. That's a 143 average since September 4th. And, yes, as hot as he has been in the second half of the season, even Manny has cooled off considerably.
Oh, he's
now 2 for his last 17 over the past 5 games, and he struck out at least once in 10 straight games, longest streak of his career.
He missed a hanger from Flaherty yesterday that I was like, that's a pitch. Maybe that was the Budweiser, Ben, that got him last night, because there was a hanger that Flaherty threw. And when it left his hand, I go, you're done. You're dead. That ball's going 400 feet. And he missed it, swung right through it. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. So, listen, I think, you know, like we know, it ebbs and it flows. It certainly does. It's a little bit ebbing right now. Would like to get it flowing again. Hey, no better guy to do it against than the guy you're going to be facing tonight, Walker Buehler. You never really thought you'd say those words, but Walker Buehler's having a terrible season. Looks like a shell of himself right now. So go out and just take it to that guy, specifically win the series. And he's good hitting. He's good hitting for a lot of these guys. He's pitched a little bit better as of late, but this is a guy that you should feel pretty comfortable hitting against.
Now, I will say, a lot can change in the next 4 days. Hey, things can turn on a dime in 1 day. Playoffs start, and a guy who was ice cold all of a sudden is red hot. Anyone remember Trent Grisham 2 years ago?
My Lord, right?
See, like, just anyone see that coming? Well, I mean, so you can't necessarily project.
The funny thing is that, yeah, first series, brilliant, right? And didn't he got one?
And then started and then completely fell off the map.
Completely fell off the map.
You know, water finds its level eventually, but in the playoffs, it's so short, you can have an impact even if you have it during the regular season.
It's so good to see Tatis demolishing baseballs. 400.
That was the longest home run of the season for the Padres. I didn't realize that.
448, yeah. And it was 114 miles an hour off the bat.
That would have left the stadium again if he got a little bit more under it. It was on too much of a line. He hit that so hard.
Jackson Merrill continues to just give you great at-bats almost every time he steps to the plate. Hunter, great point here. Guys are scuffling, yet we're 10-2 in our last 12. Hell yeah, dude. Like, again, we talked yesterday about guys picking their brothers up. We lost that game by one run, and we had plenty of opportunities to win it. That's all we've ever asked for. That's all they've promised us, is that we want to be in a position to win baseball games late. They damn near always are. So they were in one last night, tying runs on second base. Didn't come through. We tip our hat, we move on, you go out and you try to just crush Walker Buehler today.
Both games this week against this team, the World Series favorites, by the way, with the world's greatest roster and the best player to ever play the game.
Yeah.
Like, both games, coin flip.
100%.
Coin flip. You had a triple play.
Yeah, a true heavyweight battle, man, is what. Now, I'll admit,
October baseball.
They're a heavyweight. I will. They are the Dodgers are a heavyweight. They will call us a bantamweight, even though we fight them hard and have taken it to them this year. They will not give us the respect of being calling us heavyweights. We're featherweights or bantam. I don't know what bantamweight is.
I was wondering. I was going to ask you.
I have no idea, but I just always thought it was cool.
What class?
What class are you in?
I'm a bantamweight.
Bantam. What does that mean? What is the bantam?
I mean, like feather and light, and light. Heavy and you know,
there's heavyweight.
They all make sense.
Give it to me.
Heavyweight. And then this is from like the top down.
All right, what are we fighting? We're all heavyweights,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, God. We are all heavyweights.
Cruiserweight is 200 pounds.
Cruiser's cool.
Light
cruiser.
Heavyweight, 175. Super middleweight, I mean, there's a lot. Middleweight is 160. Welterweight, 147. Lightweight, 135.
This is
featherweight, 126.
Where's bantam?
Bantamweight is 118. It goes all the way down to
really, really small people. Minimum who are weight fighting here.
Minimum weight is 105 pounds.
Strawweight. Oh, it's straw weight, 105.
I want bantam. What do I need to do to get down to a bantam weight? 118 seems yeah. Doable. That's 6'1". Seems doable. 118. What are you fighting at? 118.
And which one of your man boobs?
I'd be a rail, dude. I would be a rail.
Hey, 6'1", 118.
6'1", 118.
What I don't understand is, yeah, you go between, you know, heavyweight and middleweight and lightweight and featherweight, they all kind of make sense. But then you throw in, you know, the cruiserweight and the bantamweight. What are those things?
What's heavyweight? Just us?
Heavyweight is 200.
200. That you have to fight at 200?
Anything above 200 is heavyweight. You can be as heavy as you want after that.
Like Butterbean.
Yes.
Like UFC, they have a heavyweight is listed from 206 to 265, anywhere.
Yeah, I'm doing boxing, but yeah, each sport has its own specific classifications.
All right. Well, I've always wanted to know that, and you learn a lot on this program.
I didn't know some of that.
I didn't either, and I'm a sports guy.
Yeah, you're a sports guy.
I wasn't totally sure about any of those weight classifications, other than the fact that I can't believe that there's this many people around who like to fight who are under, like, 130 pounds.
I know.
It's a lot of classes for people who are very, very, very light in their weight.
Yeah.
Getting into the ring.
So I'm not, you know, again, to tie it all up, I'm not overly concerned. See how tonight goes. Do you rest Luis Arraez? Maybe. Maybe you do give him a rest. I mean, the guy's banging his hand after every single pitch. You know, listen, the funny thing is I think they said it on the broadcast, too. It doesn't hurt when you square it up. It doesn't. You don't feel a thing when you square it up. But it's the ones off the end of the bat. It's the one in on the hands that just he looks like he's in such pain. I do give him all the credit in the world for going out there. I do get the sense he's out there to help the San Diego Padres win and not just getting a batting title, Ben. I really believe that. What he provides to the team, Manny Machado's given him the credit of turning this team around when he arrived. Like, he is a valuable piece. He's got a hit, man, in the leadoff spot. You got to find a way to get on base for the big boys.
And if you win this game, I mean, there really are no questions about your pedigree going into the postseason.
Correct.
You've taken on everyone in the second half.
There aren't any anyway.
You know.
Their pedigree is real. It's a real pedigree. But, you know, guys need to start trying to square up the ball. But again, the Dodgers employed their very best last night. You saw the best that they have, maybe outside of Gratterol last night. And, you know, I think you saw the best that they have, and you took their punches and you lost by one run. So
it kind of feels like they absolutely, Dave Roberts was managing that like a playoff game. I think Mike Schilt might have done a few things differently in a playoff game.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Of course. I think so, too, Paulie. 100%.
All of our baseball coverage at 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Eno and more coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods.
New brilliant Netflix show. Got to tell you about it next.